Welcome to Game Study Hall. Hide your DS in a book and act like you're working.
It's Game Study Hall.
Tonight on the Dan and Guy Power Hour.
So I've been, we'll call it on vacation, even though I'm not employed to be on vacation. But I'm house sitting for a friend of mine, so I'm just like crashing at his place to take care of his dog and chickens. And wow. Instead of doing work or anything like that, I've just been binging on movies and like TV that I haven't watched in a while.
So it's interesting about that, right? Have you ever heard of the show called The Office?
Yes.
Okay, so at the time that it was first on, I thought it was like a bad show because it seemed like one of those like, haha, it's the funny sitcom shows that are usually bad. But then it kept getting recommended to me, so I watched some episodes of it. Like, you know, the first season's only like 8 episodes, and it's on Netflix, so I didn't even have to pirate it. It's actually pretty funny. Like, it almost kind of reminded me.
Oh, it's just the British or the American one?
The American one with Steve Carell.
Carell?
The guy from Anchorman.
Yeah, Steve Carell.
Yeah. So, like, it almost kind of reminded me, like, of, like, have you watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes.
It's like a light version of that. Like, Curb Your Enthusiasm is, like, you know, Larry does something, like, really painful and awkward, and you, like, go, like, oh, God, I can't even watch this. But then you have to keep watching it, and then, but then, like, he realizes he did something awkward, and he, like, tries to fix it and makes it worse. Whereas The Office is just, like, Michael will do something, like, painful and awkward, but it's not quite that as bad, so it's just, like, kind of bad. But then, like, he doesn't know he did it wrong. So, like, he'll say something, you know, sexist or racist, or he'll do some sexual harassment, but then he never really gets his comeuppance, you know what I mean?
The show, especially the early seasons, is really about rallying with the characters against a horrible boss.
I mean, but, like, he's entertaining, right?
Right, but if he was your boss, you could see how awful that would be.
Oh, I mean, I don't think a real person could actually be like him, but yes.
No, well, I'm right, but that's the point, though. He is a, like, a mesh together of every awful boss thing that you could do. Whereas, yeah. Like, he's just all of them.
Yes, every... That's really true. It's every bad thing a boss could do is what he does. So
yeah.
He could do the, like, waste your time, he could do the try to be your friend, he could do the sexual harassment.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed The Office when it was, like, first on, the first couple of seasons. Like, I was watching it, I was just coming out with people at college. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I dropped off with it, and then when the last season aired, I watched it. I was actually, like, super engrossed, and I was actually pretty, like...
Yeah, so the one thing I've heard is apparently doesn't, Pam and Jim, don't they, like, eventually get married or something?
They get married, they have a kid, they, like, have a happy family.
I feel like that would ruin the dynamic of the show, because it's kind of like, remember Cheers?
Right, and then, yeah, Sam and Diane.
Cheers,
together,
it's all about the you know, like, will they or won't they, right? That tension is what keeps you coming back. If the question is answered, yes, they will. They did. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of...
Yeah, I actually think it works in The Office. I think them getting together did not...
I'm
like,
worried
ruin
that
anything.
That's going to ruin it, but if you say it won't, then...
Well, it's late enough in the show that they've explored all of the will they, won't they interesting stuff. And now when you know they will, it explores a lot of that interesting stuff. I think it builds on itself pretty well.
All right.
I think the real problem The Office had in the like later seasons is they've rotated out a bunch of the cast, and they had just a bunch of seasons that they probably shouldn't have had.
Oh, so it was like that 70s show where it keeps going far longer than it should.
Yeah.
Like ending on a high note.
So I ended up catching up on the episodes that I... Like, after I stopped watching, and then, like, I came back, I went and watched a lot of the episodes that I had missed. And I ended up enjoying them well enough. So, like, ultimately, I'm glad there's more Office than there might have been had they, like... You know, did the, like, perfect ending. But, if I'd been watching it, like... Well, I mean, like, clearly, I dropped off because I was just kind of, like, bored with a lot of the plot lines in the later seasons.
Yeah.
But, I mean, The Office is very much just like a... I mean, it's just a sitcom with, I think, well, like, crafted characters. and gives me one of my favorite things to say, because Rainn Wilson, who is great in everything, plays, he's got to play as Dwight. Have you gotten to the Bears Beast in Battlestar Galactica quote from him?
No, I'm in like the early part of season two.
I mean, he says it really, but like, you know, Dwight's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, so he has a bee farm. He's super into bears, and he's super into Battlestar Galactica. So his like big quote was like, "Bears, beasts, and Battlestar Galactica are like the things he cares about." And I often say some form of that because I'm also super into Battlestar Galactica, and I think bears are pretty cool.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good watch. Definitely worth watching. I think much more so than some of the garbage I watched. I tried watching. Have you seen do you know what the Man in the High Castle is?
Yeah, that's the, wasn't that like a book?
Yeah, it was a Philip K. Dick book about if the Axis powers had won World War II. It's not just Hitler, it's the Axis powers win. So Japan controls the West Coast, the Nazis control like the East Coast, and the Midwest is like a no man's land.
I mean, that's kind of like that isn't what would have happened, right? Even if the Nazis had gotten the atomic bomb first, it just, everyone would have sued for peace, and they would have Cold Warred, and we would have Cold Warred with them in Europe and us over here. They were not close to developing the America bomber.
Well, but the point is not, like, if it could have happened, it's just the, what-if scenario. And so, Man in the High Castle,
I'm saying,
place,
like, does it explain how they managed to invade America?
No, no, and the whole point is it's 20 years later. Like,
but how did they get into America?
It doesn't matter. That's not the point.
It does matter. I can only suspend so much disbelief.
Yeah, the suspension of disbelief is the Axis win, and they do whatever they want because they've won.
Yeah, but how did they win?
We surrendered, I guess.
So we were in no way in any threat, and we're like, you know, let's just surrender.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyway, my
it
point
does
being,
matter.
But my whole point about, so I have not read the book, but I started watching the show because I'd heard it's very good. It came highly rated. And the first two episodes I didn't think were very good, but I was like, you know, early episodes are very rough. I would like power through. I think I got to the end of like the fifth episode. I was just like, this is really boring. And
what?
Well, so here's the problem. The premise is, what if the Axis won? And I think that's an interesting premise, right? But the what if blank happens, then blank happens. The then scenario is actually not interesting at all, right? Because, oh, the Axis won. Okay, then there's rebels and a resistance, and we're fighting against fascism. Like, okay, cool. That's not really that different than anything else. But it's just, also, it's extremely unbelievable.
Yeah, I just told you it was extremely
unbelievable. No, but, like, more so than, you know, how did they get across the ocean and, like, threaten us to a point of surrendering.
Yeah, because they can't.
No, but it's not even that. That's not, fuck that. Like, I'm willing to accept that. I don't care. What's unbelievable is this takes place in 1964, right? So it's 20 years after the presumed end of the war. How do you have 20 years of totalitarian dictatorship with the resistance fighting the entire time and not have reach some sort of equilibrium?
Yeah, I feel like resistances are the kind of thing that either get crushed out, like, after, like, a year or two, or they, you know, succeed and destabilize the country enough that they can do whatever it is they're trying to do.
Or you reach some equilibrium where you can't defeat them, so you need to make it, like, a functional scenario for people to, like, live their lives. 20 years is a really, really long time, right? Like, and to me, that is the craziest part. And especially because you're supposed to be, like, watching these characters in this whole, like, big movement about, like, oh, the Man in the High Castle. Like, it's been 20 years. Like, something should have given at this point. And also just the sheer cost of running, like, a totalitarian, like, jackboot society like that is immense. How do you maintain that for 20 years?
Because technically Nazi Germany didn't use a central bank. They just printed their own currency, but they also had hard limits on how banks could lend money. So rather than being like normal, you know, US, where 98% of our currency is created when banks give out loans and the remaining 2% is the government borrowing from the Federal Reserve, it was nearly 100% was just them printing Reichmarks, so they had a really strict currency controls, so currency was just kind of valuable, coupled with the fact that people accepted it, since, you know, it's all fiat anyways, so as long
money costly, yes, you have to pay your soldiers and buy this equipment, but it's also just time. How do you have time to have your soldiers just jackbooting around, right? Like, at what point do you... How do you rebuild anything if you're investing all of your resources?
So what is this like? So they're basically still in a state of just, like, war and walking around?
Yeah, like, they're walking around, and they're, like, you know, the secret police will take you away if they think you're part of the resistance, and, like, they're essentially still fighting a war in the Americas against, like, you know, while smaller in scale against this resistance, they're still constantly in the resistance, and every, you know, good guy character, every, like, American character is constantly tense. Even the ones who are not part of the resistance are constantly tense that someone might haul them off. They're like, oh, they might find out my grandfather was a Jew and kill me because they're Nazis. I mean, it's been 20 years, right? Like, if they haven't found out yet...
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know, either they were looking or they weren't looking, which means they don't care, and, like, you know, fine, they're still the secret police, they're still trying to kill Jews. How do you have people, you know, 20 years later, the soldiers who are now serving around, most of them were born, like, after the war? So, no,
yeah,
there's no...
soldiers are usually young.
Right, exactly. So you lose anyone who's like, oh, I remember fighting these assholes, like, I'm so glad we defeated the Americas, but they were probably born in New York, signed up with
the
military... Right?
They wouldn't even hate the Jews, because that was really just, like, the post-World War I sentiment.
Right, exactly. It's like, none of it meshes up, and there's no goal from the Nazis or the Japanese, right? Like, especially too, so it picks up with, like, there's infighting with, like, people in the Japanese and the German armies who are, like, they want to go to war against each other, and they're, like, calling this thing, but then there's also some who want to, like, destabilize the whole thing from inside. There's, like, all these forces fighting against each other. But then I go, it's been 20 years. Why is now the moment you're striking, and not 20 years
so
ago?
This kind of reminds me of Song of Ice and Fire, unfortunately. So we're going to have to talk about Game of Thrones again, because, you know, it's starting up this Sunday, so why not? Obviously, there was going to be the 5-year gap, and then...
Well,
know,
we knew that was never happening. We can't... are actors, like, that can't happen.
No, I don't mean the 5-year gap in the show. I mean in the books. There was going to be a 5-year gap between, like, the first act and the second act, and then he ended up throwing that away. And it's one of those things, like, you can say, like, why'd he do that? So many of the characters were set up, but it does kind of make you occasionally ask questions like, well, technically, I guess, if winter's coming, does winter just pause for 5 years, or... You know, if the White Walkers, the others, are this close to invading, do they just pause for 5 years? Like, it makes sense for some of them. Like, oh yeah, you know, Daenerys has to go learn to rule. You know, Bran has to go become, you know, time traveler. But, like, it's the same question here. Like, why do they pause for 20 years, then pick up the story again?
Yeah. Is that really... And that wasn't... So I'm
question made me think about that.
Well, I want to revisit, though, because we talked about this last time, and I don't remember if I included it or not, because it kind of became insane ramblings. You said that the next season for Game of Thrones, like, a bunch of the stuff.
I'm pretty sure we only talked about Game of Thrones after we stopped recording last time, because we stopped recording, and then in, like, the post wrap up, we had 45 more minutes of talking. I'm like, you know, this would have been, like, a full episode's worth of banter.
Well, okay, so hold on. Now, I want to revisit this, because I was out to dinner with some people tonight, and I had brought it up, and then I realized I don't remember any of the things. I have this vivid memory of you telling me that. Imagine the worst thing could happen, and then it's like it's going to be worse than that.
Oh yeah, the next season already leaked. It's terrible.
Right.
It hurts to think about.
At the dinner, I tried to think about, like, what is the worst thing that could happen? And I mean, other than, like, bringing back, like, Ned and Rob, I can't really think.
The worst thing that could happen is they could hyper simplify what was otherwise like a complex story down to, oh no, all the good guys are teaming up to go fight all the bad guys. and then the good guys are going.
That's been the show the whole time. What are you talking about?
No, there were...
It's always
been... It seemed like there was morally gray characters. It seemed like it might not go that way.
No, there's...
Or there was at least some mystery about, I guess, who is good and who is bad. In season one, you don't really know if...
I would argue, no, we've known
in season one,
that
you don't know
Snow
if...
Jon Snow is our hero and everyone else is an asshole.
Well, I mean, so here's the question. A character like Littlefinger. Yeah, he's probably evil, but why is he doing things he's doing? Maybe he has good intentions.
It doesn't matter if he has good intentions. He kills, lies, steals, robs. Like, he does bad things.
Okay. Does Jon Snow not do bad things? Keep in mind, Jon Snow has explicitly murdered more people than Littlefinger has explicitly murdered.
And
Littlefinger has caused, you know, has done actions which lead to the deaths of many. Obviously, by
the intentional,
war, like,
setting apart the actions that will cause the death of someone intentionally, I would argue, counts. Jon Snow has killed a bunch of people, but he's killed them in battle. Doesn't really count. Also, he's fighting an actual undead menace.
Okay.
I mean, the first person he kills is someone who told him to kill him.
Was that his first kill?
Corrin Halfhand? Yeah, it's the first person he kills.
That, yeah. I couldn't... No, he killed... Didn't he kill one of the wildlings at the camp?
No, he was supposed to kill Ygritte. And
oh, yeah. And then he didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Serve him right.
There was... I remember there being three.
Yeah,
I don't
remember in
I
the
think
book.
Corrin
I think
kills
like
the two.
Yeah, I don't think he actually does any killing there.
Or I think he kills the first one and is remorseful and won't kill Ygritte. But besides the point, they were... Like, those wildlings were hunting the Night's Watch. They're at war. So, like, it's a little different than, you know, I want to, like... Also, he's a child in a military organization. It's a little different than Littlefinger, who's like, I want to pay off some people. 15 is a child.
Yeah, not in that time period.
No, actually, in that time period also.
Okay, effectively an adult.
No, because everyone treats him like a child. Like
maybe...
he's an adult in that they give him a sword. He's a child in that no one cares what he thinks, and everyone tells him what to do. And no one trusts his ability to do anything except stab people with a pointy stick. Jon Snow is the only character who has an enemy that is actually something you should fight, like, worry about fighting against, and has so far not done anything so egregious that it's clear that he is going to do more bad than good. Everyone else in all of Game of Thrones, except for, like, Brienne. I guess, actually, Brienne is probably the only other more redeemable character than Jon Snow. Everyone, you know, like, everyone else. And Podrick Payne. And Bronn. The...
Show Bronn or Book Bronn?
Both. They're great. Not good people, but they're great.
Show Bronn is a lot more entertaining than Book Bronn.
Book Bronn is still entertaining in, the world he lives in. But yeah, Show Bronn is way better in, so many ways.
Show Bronn, I think, is a very good example of, you know, the...
Letting an actor take, ownership of a role.
No, it's a good example, something that they condensed for the TV show. Like, he's, across the different seasons, he is playing the role of multiple book characters, but then it's, kind of just condenses them down to one character for the purposes of a show, which is, it's good.
Yeah, and then they add characters that aren't in the books in the show, and they undo all that good work they did in the previous seasons.
Yes, exactly. It's like...
Well, but hold on, but I want to revisit, I don't remember, you told me, all the terrible things are going to happen. I don't remember fucking any of it.
Well, then that's perfect. None of the spoilers worked.
I mean, so I legitimately... And I think the worst that could happen is bringing back, Ned or Rob. Bringing back dead characters, actually dead characters, of which there are only two, right? Ned and Rob? Who else has died?
Catelyn.
Catelyn's still alive.
No, she isn't.
Yeah, she
in the
is.
Book,
She's...
she is.
In the books and the show. That season ends with them finding her body.
What, season 4?
I think so. Or is it 3?
I don't remember.
Whatever that is, they find her body by the riverside.
Was that... Yeah, but it didn't go anywhere.
Why? No, it's a Chekhov's gun. Why would they show that except...
I think they did that because that was back still when they weren't writing the next season until the current season was done. And so that was like the, we don't know if we're going to include Stoneheart, so let's just show this. So if we need to, we can introduce her later. And then they didn't.
So you're saying it's just a loaded gun in a drawer somewhere?
Yeah. It's like how they did nothing with the Ironborn in Season 5, because they weren't sure if they were going to completely cut that story out, and then they had some extra time in 6, and so they added it back.
Is Beric still alive in the show?
Yes.
Right, because you find him with the Hound, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Then that's the whole... Right, that means Lady Stoneheart is not around.
Yeah, they kind of... Anything she might have sort of had to do with the plot, I think they're just going to give to him.
I mean, I don't think she has anything to do in the books either.
I think in the books she's going to be involved with...
She's just going to be an asshole.
No, I think it's going to be one of two things. Either A, Arya kills her or something, or by seeing that Arya's alive, you know, she first realizes, oh good, my daughter's alive, and then it's, oh no, you know, my daughter has become a stone-cold assassin because I wasn't there to raise her. I'm a terrible mother. And, you know, that somehow grieves her into just passing on to the next, you know, dying. Or, you know, her spirits come up. Or it's something like, I don't know, you know, the same way Beric was able to breathe, like, the kiss of life into her.
No, she does Thor's a mirror.
Or Thor's, yeah.
And he runs, he runs out, like, he can't do it anymore after he brings her back, which is why Beric dies.
Yeah. I still think there is a small chance she might be involved with the revival of Jon Snow.
In the book?
In the book, yeah. Because no. She hated Jon.
But so she's like, nowhere... Like, there's no way... That... In the... Right, well, no, in the book she doesn't give a shit about Jon and never will. It's not like she's completely indifferent. In the show she hates him.
I thought in the book she also didn't like him.
She didn't like him in that he was no... Like, he was no one to her. And it's just someone, like, inconveniences her by being, like, a child she has to take care of. If I remember correctly, she's borderline indifferent about his existence.
Alright, well...
Well, either way, it's...
I'm still pretty sure it's
Melisandre is at the wall in the book.
Yeah.
And why... Why is she even in the story except to revive Jon Snow?
She doesn't know how to revive in the book, does she?
Neither did Thoros. Thoros didn't know until he brought Beric back.
Did he? I thought he at least knew about, like, oh, the...
No, because he's this whole thing about, like, he doesn't know... Like, he doesn't know why it works or how it happens. That it just does.
Alright.
But yeah, okay, so... So after we talked about this, even though I don't remember anything when we talked about it, I'm actually pretty excited for Season 7. Because
why?
I don't actually think it can get worse. Because I actually think it's been pretty bad. I think, like, the last season was actually kind of, like, as low as it can go.
No, I think it can get worse. I think it can get even more cliched and terrible.
I think the show trying to avoid being cliché is the thing that's really, like, driving itself into, like, oblivion.
So you think if the show just said, fine, we're just going to copy all the standard fantasy cliches, we're just going to wrap this up with a nice button and a bow on top, it'll at least just be okay?
I think that is just what makes sense in the story that we've been fed so far. Like, if the White Walkers kill everyone and the Long Winter comes again, like, what? That's nothing. Like, why did we watch, you know... 8, 7
that's
seasons.
In line with the rest of his books, George R. R. Martin's books, where it's just like, yeah, bad things happen to good people, the end, life's unfair.
Right, but the Long Winter coming does not conclude the story, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a happy ending, and no one has to win in the end, but the story has to conclude. And if the finale is, oh yeah, this always happens, and this has always happened and will always happen, welcome to this Long Winter. Like, you're like, oh, okay, cool, we're exactly where we were before the first book started, so all of these books are meaningless, all of these episodes are meaningless, we didn't need to watch them, and we got nothing out of it.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad. Like, that's really, like, that's just not good. Okay, wait, I wanna hear what these, like, worst things that ever, that are happening in Season 7, because I cannot believe, I don't remember a single one.
We're doing spoilerinos?
Yeah, of course.
Just a second. Yeah, it's basically just like all the bad guys, you know, obviously dress in black, and they all team up on this on one side. All
Wait,
the
everyone
good
dresses
guys.
In black in this show.
No.
The, nice, like, the brothers of Nightwatch all wear black.
Yeah, but everyone else is like brown, you know, pastels, earthy tones. And then, you know,
so you're saying people,
just...
Well, except for the Ironborn are, I mean, it's grayish, but it's mostly like blackish, really.
Yeah, but either way, so it's, you know, very cliched there, and then they just kind of, you know, they fight amongst each other a little bit. There's dragons, and nothing really makes sense number-wise and teleportation-wise, and then it ends with the Night's King kills one of Daenerys' dragons and revives it as an ice dragon, then uses blue fire to melt the wall.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I do remember this now. Yeah, that's bad. That's, like, not... Also, I would like to point out, dragons... Are, you know, if you have an army of dragons, like, yeah, cool. You can probably do some damage. But, like, they proved in the show and in the book that, like, killing a dragon is not that hard.
You know, armies win wars all the time. Dragons haven't won a war in 300 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the fear factor, right? It's the same way, like, one 90-year-old woman with a pistol could stop 5 unarmed people. Yeah, if all 5 of you charge her at once... You will win, but she's guaranteed to get one of you killed. Do you like those odds?
I mean, that's not...
It's the fear factor. Yeah, you know, a bunch of ballistas can take down a dragon, but what if the dragon decides to breathe fire on you first? Are you going to go out into the field to fight a dragon?
But no, but the point is, the dragons are attacking. You don't have a choice. You have to defend.
Well, yeah, so that's right? The other side of it. Yes,
so
I think
can, like,
if you are
attacked...
You can
demoralize your enemy with fear...
You can demoralize them into attacking you, but if you attack them, yeah, then if pushed against a wall, well, I guess I gotta fight back. If everyone fights back at once, you're killing a dragon.
Right, and, like, yes, it, you know, bringing a weapon of mass destruction onto the battlefield is a, you know, it's like a trump card. Like, hey, I've got dragons, you don't. What are you gonna do about it? Like, well, we have a bunch of spears and arrows and ballista. We're just gonna kill it.
You'd need to hit them in the eye.
No. In the book... They just stabbed the shit out of it.
Oh, the one in the dragon pit?
Yeah.
I assumed that one of the stabs was in the eye, because I thought, like, aren't dragons' hides, like, harder than steel?
I don't think they're harder than steel, but, like, so in the show, at least, and if I remember correctly, in the book also, like, he flies away with a bunch of, like, spears sticking out of him.
Yeah, and then he kind of heals it off.
Even if their skin is so as tough as hide, it's still hitting it
yeah,
with
remember,
a large
blood
object
like
at
boiling
high
temperatures.
Was that?
Their blood is almost dragon's blood is like supposed to be like boiling hot, like there's just fire inside them. So any spears that like went into their body
which
would just kind of melt.
Okay, yeah. Even if that's true, let's say all of this is true. If you hit it with a ballista, that's still a large object at high speed hitting it.
Yeah, you can knock it out of the sky.
That could kill it alone. You give it a concussion, like, it's going to die.
Well, we don't know. I actually don't know that much about dragons' internal anatomy. I just know their external anatomy.
I mean, everything dies if you hit it hard enough.
Yes, to kill the dragon, hit it until it dies.
Right, but you know, let's assume their skin is as tough as steel. If you hit it with a hammer really hard, it's still going to take, like, damage. You know, like, laws of motion, assuming physics is real in Game of Thrones, like, it's still absorbing this massive
well,
amount
remember
of energy.
What we said, in that world, you know, people, they tend to exaggerate numbers up, you know, perhaps their perception of 700 feet is not what our perception of 700 feet is.
And their perception of steel is not what they perceive it to be?
Yes, perhaps what they perceive to be as hard as steel is not quite as hard, or could even be harder. You know, perhaps Dormant Giant's Bane's penis is not... 30 inches pre-bear cutting off half of it. Perhaps his penis is a more traditional size.
I do like the idea that he is a father of someone in the Mormon family. Right? Because the House of Bear Island.
Yeah, they are up there.
And he had sex with a bear, right? Like...
it was all a metaphor for he went south of the wall
yeah.
to Bear Island.
I mean, we do know that he goes out. Like, it's not that crazy.
Yeah, and that would be the kind of thing, like, he runs off with one of their daughters, and then they chase him away, and he's like, joke's on you, I got your daughter pregnant.
I mean, he's Westeros, right?
But
looking at the dragons, right, this bothered me a lot, too, because there's that one glory shot where the like, navy is coming, and the dragon flies over, and then, like, it burns a boat.
Yeah.
But it, like, super illustrates what garbage they are at attacking, because it like, holds for, like, 12 seconds as it burns this ship. I was like...
Yeah.
It's going to take you a really long time for this dragon to do anything of relevance, while the whole time there's just an army, like, landing on your, you know, gates and murdering all of you.
The other thing to remember, too, is dragons keep growing as they get older. Like, by the time Aegon the Conqueror was riding, what was it, the Baelorhan... Like, it was a very, very large dragon, like, you know, 100 feet long or something. So, assuming he was large enough where he could eat a horse in just one bite. If we assume a dragon that size, like, he would be breathing fire out of his whole mouth, he could probably burn a ship a lot faster, and he could move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if, yeah, right, if the dragons were much, much larger, then yeah. But, you know, except for Drogon, Daenerys is imprisoning her dragons. So they're not.
Nah, the other two broke out.
Growing.
Remember?
What?
The other two just broke out for some reason in season 6. In season 6, episode 9.
Yeah, how
does it explain it?
Yeah.
They just get out, okay. We need them outside now. Don't explain it.
No, didn't the. I thought the Sons of the Harpy opened it to try to kill them.
Okay, if that's your headcanon, I accept it.
No, I thought there's a shot. Isn't there a shot? I feel like there's a shot of someone opening the gate, like, opening the doors.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so, are you going to watch on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Chris and Nate are coming over. Although, realistically, it's just an excuse to, you know, play board games and play the Switch, and then...
possibly watch Game of Thrones.
It'll be on in the background.
I mean, the first episode, like, what could possibly happen in the first episode that'll be interesting, right? Because it's got a setup.
Nothing. Daenerys lands in Dragonstone, and then she's like, this is where we're going to launch our attack. This is the, you know, really elaborate set piece that probably cost a lot of money to make, so we need to make sure that we, you know, use it again. And also,
have we seen Dragonstone
used to plan
before?
My attack. Yeah, that Stannis is, like, it was season 2, like, Stannis walking around the Westeros map.
Yeah, and I don't remember if we actually saw, like, a glorious shot of...
the outside? No, yeah. Of course not. That would cost money.
And that's what I'm saying, so, like, why... either. Oh, you're talking about, like, the interior set?
The interiors, yeah, the interior sets. Interior sets cost money, and when you're paying $2 million
yeah,
per
but if
episode...
they're going back to Dragonstone, it means they have to also build an exterior, like, of the dragon statues and shit like that.
Do they?
I don't think anyone would be happy if they go back to Dragonstone, and we still don't see the outside.
Well, I don't think people are going to be happy then.
I don't know. So wait, but Daenerys is just going to time warp to Westeros?
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Just like hand wave him?
Yeah, not even stopping anywhere along the way.
The whole, like, time-traveling thing of just, like, oh, I'm going to go over here now, and just they're, like, there all of a sudden, despite Westeros being a massive map, and,
right,
like,
so,
Essos,
like,
being...
Season 1, at least, like, it did that, but it did that for everyone and everything, and you could tell time had passed. Like, yeah, Catelyn gets on a boat, then she shows up in King's Landing the next episode. Okay, that makes sense. Like, or she gets on a boat in the beginning of an episode, the end of the episode... she's there. There's at least some pacing-wise, so it feels like, okay, stuff's happening in parallel. And that's the general pace. But, like, you know, Varys is talking to Daenerys, or Varys is talking in Dorne. Next scene, he's on a boat with Daenerys. Like, oh yeah, you know, 6 months passed. Okay?
Well, Varys is the only one where that's actually okay.
No, it's not okay for anyone.
But no, he's a wizard. He can fucking teleport.
No, he can't.
You're saying wizards can't teleport in Game of Thrones?
No, I'm saying Varys is just a eunuch.
No, he's definitely a wizard.
You think he has some magic powers?
I mean, as much as you can have in Westeros, I guess?
I don't think he has magic powers.
Then how does he do anything he does? How is he so, like, omnipresent and have so much knowledge?
he has a bunch of, like, street urchins that are just his informants. He pays them with food.
Yeah, I don't think of that.
All right.
I mean, because his network would have to be massive. And then what is the whole... Why is he a eunuch? What is his whole backstory?
He was one of the Blackfyres, like the failed bastard line of the Targaryens that got exiled to Essos. And, you know, there were people that did not want dragons or Blackfyres or any Targaryens coming back, so they make him a eunuch so he can't reproduce, and that cuts off the line.
But you think Varys is a Targaryen?
No, he's a Blackfyre.
A bastard of the Targaryens?
Yeah, so like 100 years before Game of Thrones, there was the Blackfyre Rebellion.
Right.
At the Dance of the Dragons, where there was like bastard dragon riders fighting Targaryen dragon riders. Eventually, all the dragons were killed off, and half of them kind of just said, okay, fine, we're retreating to Essos. We're going to come back, though.
Right, but this is a house branch of the Targaryens.
An illegitimate house branch?
They have the blood. They're only illegitimate in the royalty sense. They're not illegitimate in any other sense.
That, and I don't think that it wasn't like...
But Blackfyre is Targaryens are the Targaryens
are
red.
All about the incest, right? So Targaryens are like pure dragons. These guys are only like half dragons.
Right, but the bastards wear the color of their house in reverse, right? The blackfish is a blackfish instead of blue. It's a black dragon instead of the red dragon.
It's a black dragon.
But you think Varys is a Blackfyre, and thus a Targaryen.
Yeah.
And now I have to look up the color of his eyes. Also, why would he be that? This well-known shade of purple eyes is violet. No, that's not. Oh, God. Violet's in the color purple. Okay, wait. Why do you think he's a Targaryen?
I think he's a Blackfyre, because he's trying to...
Yeah, if he's a Blackfyre, he's a Targaryen.
No, there's a difference, because the Blackfyres don't like the Targaryens. They're not helping the Targaryens.
It doesn't matter. They're from the same lineage. In Game of Thrones term, he's a Targaryen.
I don't think he is in the show. I think in the show, he's just a very helpful guy. I think in the book, it goes deeper.
Okay, but why?
I don't know why. I'll go find the Preston video that explained it better.
Well, I'm looking at the wiki. It doesn't say his eye color, which is actually a little weird. I stand by that he's probably a merman.
A merman?
Oh, did you not hear this one?
No, I didn't hear this one.
Oh, this is... it's not... It's essentially that there's several references to Varys and the sea... And, like, my favorite one being that I think Littlefinger threatens to throw him into the bay. And he goes, you wouldn't like what happens then. Clearly implying that, like, he has enough friends that if you did anything to him, something bad would happen to you. But people were like, oh, that means, you know, he's a merman. And you throw him in the water and, like, he'll... Cause, and then he's, like, described as being kind of, like, portly, but actually, like, very, like, lithe and, like, quick on his feet. Like, oddly so for someone of his size. Oh, so good. There does not appear to be a Preston Jacobs on Varys.
Alright, fine. I will look up where I found this.
Oh, man. You also subscribe to the whole Quentin is alive thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think he's alive, but I stand by the evidence in that no one dies off screen, and technically he died off screen.
Yeah, it's, you know, he just sees a bunch of stuff that's like flammable at low temperatures on fire, but he sees a bunch of stuff that should also be on fire from Dragonfire not on fire, and then it just cuts to, oh, and then he was in pain. I think he got a bad burn on his arm, but...
Well, no. If he's alive, he is unharmed. I think it can't be both. He's either a Targaryen and immune to fire, or not.
He's not immune to fire. Targaryens are not immune to fire.
In the book, they're not immune to fire. In the show, they are immune to fire. It has been proven multiple times.
No, they aren't. Then how did Viserys die to molten gold?
Because he was not a Targaryen. Like, he was just a... What the fuck's the word? Because he talks constantly about being the dragon. And so if you are a pure, like a real Targaryen, you are immune to fire. So he was just like a shitty offspring, like a bad mutation.
So you're saying some Targaryens are immune to fire?
Right. And ones who are not actually Targaryens. They're just the children of Targaryen parents. It's like how not all of the Stark children can warg, right? Like, Bran and Jon got the, like, warging power. But Ned and Rob and Sansa and Arya didn't.
Arya did get warging. She warged into a cat.
Did she?
Yeah. What? In the books, she wargs into a cat, and that's how she's able to... The kindly man's like, "Who attacked you the other day?" And he expected her to answer by, like, using her senses and being able to hear him and detect. She just warged into a cat and saw it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But Sansa's never done it. Rob's never done it. Ned never did it. Probably because they can't. But the point being that there are the power of your house, and you're not necessarily... You don't necessarily get that, right? It's like in Avatar Last Airbender, not everyone is a bender. But if you possess the trait that makes you immune to fire, then you're immune to fire. Like Daenerys is, and if Quentin is alive, Quentin is immune to fire. Because otherwise, why is he not dead?
Because the dragon didn't breathe fire on him.
Well, you think the dragon... No, the dragon breathes fire. They specifically call out it breathes fire, right?
Yeah, but it didn't get on him.
But the things he are holding caught fire.
Yes, because, you know, when there's fire, right, areas next to fire get hot. So if there's a fire that's 1,000 degrees, the area adjacent to the fire is still, like, a couple hundred degrees, which is enough for some things to, you know, ignite.
Combust.
Ignition, as in, like... The room is so hot, this turned on fire. I put a book inside the oven, I set it to 450 degrees, the book didn't burn, I turned it up to 455, it just burst into flames.
Yeah, that's combustion. Ignition is when it... Whatever.
I know that books don't burn at 451, they burn at like a much lower temperature because they're paper, but...
No, 451 is the temperature that of the heat given off from the burning book, I thought.
I recall reading something like it's the wrong number for everything, but the point is the temperature where something that is not on fire, where it's just so hot, it will now turn on fire. Ignition temperature. Auto-ignition temperature, excuse me. The kindling point of a substance is the lowest temperature at which it spontaneously ignites in normal atmosphere without an external source of ignition, such as a flame or spark.
Yeah, 451 is the temperature given off by the fire of a book. Not the temperature at which it would burst into flames.
No, it actually bursts into flames between 424 and 475 degrees Fahrenheit.
A book? What?
According to Wikipedia, the auto-ignition temperature of paper is between 424 and 475.
Actually, no, that makes sense, right? Because it's why you buy parchment paper to use in the oven.
Yeah, because parchment paper is 392.
What? No, it's not. It doesn't...
According to this, parchment paper... Oh, wait, no, this is referring to parchment, which is...
Yeah.
Like leather, like animal membrane. Ugh.
Yeah, you're thinking you're reading parchment as in like a piece of paper. I'm talking about parchment paper is a specific paper used for baking.
Yeah, I know what parchment paper is for baking. It's like that waxy paper.
Yeah. Right, it's treated so that it does not burst. Like, anyway, whatever, not the point. So off track. Point being, Targaryen, blah, blah, blah.
Apparently the reason why he picked 451 is because it's right in the middle of the temperatures.
Sure. But what... If Varys is a Targaryen, what does that mean? Like, what do we get out of that?
It explains why he's trying to put a fake Targaryen on the throne.
Quentin?
No.
No, Aegon. Isn't he on Aegon? But Aegon's not...
Isn't it awfully coincidental that there just happens to be this Aegon kid?
No. What's coincidental about it?
Because Aegon was supposedly killed.
So? Right. So was Daenerys.
No, she wasn't supposedly killed.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, never mind. I'm thinking of the Martell kids. Aegon being alive is not really... I didn't even think that was a twist. I was like, okay, it's about time he's in the story. Like, I did not expect there to be... I wasn't like, oh my god, when is Aegon coming in here? But they're like, okay, and this is Aegon. I go, alright. Like, there are so many, like... I mean, there's no internet, right? There's no phones. It's so easy to have people just floating around. I mean, there's no evidence that he is anyone, but it doesn't matter, right? If someone else says he's Aegon Targaryen, there's no way to verify that. Right? It's just like there's no way to really verify that you murdered someone.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's proved by Theon with the fucking farmer's boys. Like, I totally killed Bran and Rickon. Like, no, you didn't, right? Like, you brought bodies, but doesn't mean burnt bones mean nothing, right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing with, like, the sheep's bones in the fifth book.
Yeah. They're, like, probably not a child, but she locks up the dragons anyway. But the... Fuck, where was I going with that? Fuck, I had a point. Oh, whether or not Aegon's actually a Targaryen. He is someone contending for the throne, which is the only thing that matters, right? Except it doesn't matter, because... He has no army, he has no dragons, and he is vying for the Iron Throne, which is literally meaningless.
Well, now he has the Golden Company.
Does he?
Yeah. And they already took over a bunch of the Stormlands.
When did that happen? What?
In the chapters that didn't make it into the fifth book.
So they haven't, then?
I mean... These are all the, like, sample chapters he's already released.
Oh. So, in the next book, we find this out.
I mean, in the stuff that's already out, we find this out. And technically, it even ended the fifth book with, like, John Connington was like, you know, we've already taken over this castle, I finally have my roost back. And
oh, now that's we're going right, to march I forgot on. About that.
Yeah, now we're going to march on Storm's End.
Right. Okay, so he has an army. Okay. But anyone can have an army? Like, his lineage doesn't matter. Right? Like, he has an army. That's what counts. Is he trying to marry Daenerys? I don't remember.
I think so, yes. The idea is he would kind of marry into her. Because she has the real dragons, and then he can claim, well, I'd be the rightful king anyways, and now we can rule together as Targaryens.
Right. But see, this just comes back to the whole, like, I don't care about the Iron Throne plotline. Because it doesn't matter. There are zombies.
It does matter. If they kill the zombies, someone's going to have to rule over the ashes.
Right, but there will be just ashes if they continue to fight over the Iron Throne, they will not stop the zombies, in which case they will all be killed. Right.
Yep. And everyone does, but at least my enemies don't have the Iron Throne.
Right.
That's the perfect mentality. It's like, have you ever played Archipelago?
No. But I assume I've never heard of it. I hear it's supposed to be fun, but I assume this is the one where, like, mutually assured destruction is commonplace.
Yes, exactly. Like, there's a bunch of communal stuff. Like, you have to, like, deal with uprisings. You have to deal with unhappiness of the natives. And if the native unhappiness gets too high, everyone just loses equally. Except if one of the players is a betrayer, then they win. Except there's not always a betrayer. Like, there's 15 roles you could have. So even in a 5-player game, there's only a 1/3 chance of a betrayer. Like, from a strictly parody standpoint, if I know I'm going to lose, I have no reason to, like, contribute to the commune, because I lose individually, or we all lose equally. Now, in one of those scenarios, I keep parity of the people next to me. In another one of those scenarios, I just flat out lose compared to them. So why should I contribute to the commune?
But then, shouldn't you just never contribute to the commune? All your resources, yeah, trying to win.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I do. First turn, I just try to win. That guy, if we don't do this, we're going to lose, like, second turn. And then we lose second turn, and it's like a 15-minute game. I'm like, oh, well, at least we all lost equally.
Well, but whoever has the most points at the end still wins.
No, it's not like that. It's strictly you lose.
All things scoring, are like that.
At endgame. You have 0 points until endgame.
Oh, that's stupid.
You could say, if we had scored now, I would have won, but I haven't scored yet.
Yeah. Yes. That's lame. All things have a winner. All things have a loser. Must respect the existence of the universe. No, wait, hold on. Sidetracked. Why does Aegon Targaryen matter? And why is Varys being a Targaryen? Like, so, okay, you think Varys is a Blackfyre, and you think Aegon is fake, and that is why Varys is pushing for him to take the throne? Wait, why does that make sense?
Because he wants his family to hold the throne.
So, oh, you think Aegon's a Blackfyre?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. So he's just back in a different Targaryen. Who cares? What? Who cares, is my point.
Well, if you don't care about the Iron Throne plotline, you only care about the zombies, yeah, who cares? This doesn't matter. None of this matters.
But even if I cared about the Iron Throne, it doesn't matter what Targaryen is trying to fight for the throne. Right? Like, at least Daenerys people are invested in. Aegon, no one has any investment in, and no one has any investment in, like, the actual Targaryen house except through Daenerys, right?
Okay.
I don't know. I think I retract my previous statement about being excited about this season. I think I lied. I think I'm not excited at all. I don't know. Maybe we'll finally have a good, like, fight scene again. We haven't had one of those since season, what, 5? Well, what season was Hardhome? It was 5, right? Yeah, that was the last, like, good fight. Oh, but that was a really good fight. I don't know. Okay, whatever. Fuck Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so tonight, in the Dan and Guy Power Hour, we discuss
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I guess we'd end up discussing Game of Thrones for an hour. I was going to talk about the new Arms DLC, but I didn't actually download it yet.
No, and we're already an hour into this. Okay, do me a favor and just say, like, Game of Thrones, like, just Game of Thrones, and I'll use the pro voiceover to be like, tonight on the Dan and Guy Power Hour, and then...
Yeah.
Game of Thrones,
Season 7.
No. You gotta say it like you're talking. Game of Thrones, Season 7. Right, it's
I can only do that if I... Tonight, in the Dan and Guy Power Hour, we discuss Game of Thrones, Season 7.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'll probably add that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we talking about next?
You played
time?
Guy Quest yet?
Yeah. I mean, not all of it. It's fucking long.
Yeah. How far into it are you?
Not far. I spent a lot of time on random battles. Being really bad at random battles. They
are they too frequent?
Boring. No, they're just boring.
Turn off animations.
Yeah.
You know, when you turn off animations, the battles take, honest to God, like 14 seconds. And that's if it goes two rounds. If it goes one round, it's like 8 seconds.
Yeah, because the animations are painful. They're like really painful.
I really like them.
I mean, yeah, they're great once, but like, there's a lot of delay on them. So like, when everyone's moving around the battlefield and just like, you watch the same thing over and over again, it's a little rough.
All right, then turn off animations.
I'm going to turn off animations. I'm booting up right now.
That's actually good, too, because I've been testing no animations on my other phone, and there's a number of bugs, actually, that, like, I did not expect with no animations.
You mean, like, timing not working out?
Yeah. There's only been, like, one timing issue. It's mostly been stuff like when you call an attack, right? When you select an attack, there's a bunch of variables loaded into a little, like, holder class called a selected attack. Then the selected attacks are sorted and put into a stack. And then it pops one off the top of the stack, and it kind of looks at it and then says, okay, this is a move action. Go execute as a move. Okay, this is an attack. Go execute it as an attack. And then when it goes to execute attack, it then checks, if skip animation is true, directly execute. Else, animate execute. And then when you call animate execute on an attack, the end, like, line of the animate block is execute itself, and it passes in the variables from the selected attack. So the selected attack will pass the variables into the attack class. But there were some times where I wasn't passing them in correctly, but the animate was kind of correcting it accidentally, that sort of thing, or animate was doing it wrong, and so I corrected it for the wrong animate, and so then when it was passed in correctly from the selected attack, it was an error, that sort of thing. It's very elaborate, because like, when you're selecting an attack, right, there's actually, you're technically selecting one of three targets. You're either selecting a direct battle character target, you're selecting yourself as the target, or you're selecting an area. If you select an area, there's not always a battle character there. If you select a battle character, there's not always, like, a target there, like an XY target. So if you're not careful, you could accidentally copy and paste code from one animation to another, because, it's close enough, I can just reuse it, except one of those animations was, you know, using the target as a reference, so animate this at target sprite plus 16 pixels. And then the other one was an area of effect, so you go to pass that in, and then, oops, no pointer. It's really elaborate.
It sounds like you fucked up.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, right? There was a delightful article that basically said, you know, don't make an RPG if you're making a game for the first time, because in order to make the game actually long enough and large enough to be a good, fulfilling game, you're going to end up having to do, like, multitudes more work than you realize. And I realize that now. You know, there's 150 maps and 500 pieces of equipment and 800 enemies, and it's too much. It was way too much.
There's a lot of just, like, legwork for games in general. Like, even, like, really small projects I make, it's like, oh, cool, I have to, like, build these levels. And I do a lot of, like, procedurally generated stuff, and even that, you need to still construct the, like, framework to be procedurally generated on. Just, like, build a bunch of just frameworks that then house other frameworks that house frameworks, and the loop is just, oh god, Billy, don't die. Just don't die. Use your Boucher. Yeah, this is really, I mean, it's faster, but it's still long. Alright, well, I will deal with this in the morning.
What part of the game are you at? Did you get to,
I'm still, like...
So you didn't get past anything that was in the demo yet? You're not into the mines?
No, I'm not in the mines yet.
Oh.
I did a lot of... I'm dicking around, like, the beginning of the game, because mostly because I'm lazy, but, like, swapping equipment, changing classes, stuff like that.
Hmm. Are you playing on hard mode?
No. I don't think so.
You should be testing hard mode. So hard mode is, like, the definitive way to play the game.
Oh. I'll
you can get basically like everything. Yeah, just play hard mode. Like, that's the normal mode. It ends a third of the way through and laughs at you for picking easy. Very hard mode is just hard mode with permadeath. Hard mode is the full game.
Okay. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, so it took me about 65 hours to get to the final boss.
Yeah, that's a lot of hours.
But I also
there, Chief.
I also 100%ed the game. Right, so I did all the side quests along the way. I got every single piece of loot from every single hidden cave. Now, I didn't do any of the end game content yet, but, you know, let's say this game takes about 60 hours, assuming you're not being, like, super comb every single dungeon for everything. I think that's a good solid playtime, right?
I mean, that is really long for anything.
You get your money's worth. You get your money's worth. Yeah.
Yeah. Suppose it's true. Although, money's worth time or something, right? There's some phrase about this.
This is a really fun game.
You guys certainly have good flavor text.
Yeah, just wait till you start to get some of those, like, end-game spells. You start getting to multipliers. Don't you like multipliers?
No.
Like, it's stuff like, you know, when you're using a shield-based attack, if you have the defend buff or the bulwark buff, you deal double damage. If you have both of them, you do x4 damage. And if you're standing in a double zone at the time, that'll double your damage, then you'll do x8 damage. If your target is standing in a double zone, they'll be taking x2 damage, so you'll be dealing x16 damage. And because it uses your defense stat, you know, to determine all this, if you use buffs to get your defense stat up to x2 of its base, then you would actually be doing x32 damage. And then if you got a critical strike, you would deal double damage. So you could deal x64 damage. I'm basically going over all the really elaborate, like, min-maxy ways you can one-shot bosses, because that's what I've been testing, because I'm actually at endgame at this point, and I have all of these skills and abilities, like, at my disposal. And so, you know, a lot of these, like, numbers that I originally projected formulaically worked right up until about the point when I started getting really good gear and skills, and then it's like, oh man, I predict this boss will need 30,000 health. Oh, it turns out I can deal, you know, 8,000 damage with a crit. I guess he's going to need a bit more health than that.
Oh, unrelated. Have you heard about this net neutrality thing? Again?
Yes.
We're still anti-net neutrality, right?
I am 100% anti-net neutrality. Because the only way you can actually guarantee net neutrality is to have the government there to police everyone and ensure net neutrality. And you know what? They have a bad track record. Because when they did it with radio, eventually lobbyists stepped in and said, well, no, you can't say that on radio, and you can't do that on radio. And then the government caved in. And then on TV, lobbyists eventually came in and said, oh, you can't show that on television, you can't say that on television. They caved in eventually. You couldn't do that on TV. And if they do that on the internet, eventually the lobbyists are going to step in and say, oh no, you can't post that on the internet, you can't post that on the internet, and eventually they're going to cave in. You know, corporation, yeah, they're going to charge me more money, but eventually they will give me the option to just pay to get whatever it is I want.
Right, the government rather
will just flat out ban stuff.
What you want banned.
Explicitly banned. Yeah, it's like, oh, you don't have to pay more, but I just don't have it.
Yeah.
You know. right? It's both sides are bad. It's one side I have to pay more to continue getting what I have now. The other side is I pay the same and I just flat out lose stuff eventually. And so, yeah. And you can say, oh, well, you know, no, that the government would never do that. The government would never be susceptible to lobbyists. And you know what? To those people, I say, you're usually the kind of people complaining about Donald Trump. Do you want Donald Trump's finger on the internet?
I mean, that's... That aside, we have... Like, the FCC exists, right? We already know that they make bullshit rules that don't make... Like, you can't say words that they consider bad on the radio. Like, okay, that's... What? Why? I didn't agree to this. I didn't sign
yes,
a paper
exactly.
that said...
They
I
already do this in multiple mediums. Do you want to give them another medium? But you think, oh, well, this medium will be different. You know, it fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice.
No, but they didn't fool us. We
don't get fooled
again. To it, right?
No,
I mean,
they
wouldn't
did.
Have agreed to
80
it.
80 or 90 years ago, whenever the FCC was created, yeah, the people of the time agreed to it. Just it's really hard to change legislation in this country. So once it's on the books, it's on the books. Deal
1934.
With it. So you need to prevent. Yeah, you need to prevent it from getting on the books to begin. Figures with FDR, commie. Yeah, you need, if you don't like legislation, you need to prevent it from getting on the books. Because once it's on the books, it's really hard to get it off. It's, you know, they say it's really hard to pass legislation in this country. It's 10 times harder to repeal it. Just look at Obamacare, right? The entire government and the Supreme Court is stacked with Republicans right now, and they can't even repeal the law that they themselves have been railing against for 6 years.
Well,
that's how hard it is to undo.
Did repeal it.
No, the House voted on a partial change bill. The Senate's, you know, changing it up, and after they change it up, they're going to have to send it back to the House to vote on their version of it. And if the House has to change it again, it gets sent back to the Senate. And it won't get sent to the President until both sides have signed off on the same exact thing, and then the President has to okay it.
Interesting. I don't know, I live
yeah,
in a
there's a very low chance of it
so.
Yeah, you guys had Obamacare back before it was cool.
Exactly. In fact, but, I am re-upping my free healthcare.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so before I worked my old job, I had 100% super just free healthcare. Like, I would go
free.
To the doctor. I would go to the doctor, and I would just give my card, and then they would do all their tests, and, like, give me my meds, and do the stuff, and then send me out, you know, send me for my MRI, my physical therapy, my x-rays, all free. Didn't pay a fucking dime.
I wish the man in the high castle was real.
I mean, I do pay garbage taxes for these, well, someone else pays taxes for all this.
Yes, exactly.
Although I am about to pay for a bunch of medical stuff out of pocket, so I'm about to eat a huge fucking bill because medication is expensive.
Good for you.
No, not good for me. I don't have any money. I'm unemployed. I'm going back to school. Also, school
get a job,
starts on
hippie.
Monday. I can't get... Actually, I got a phone call today. Someone tried to do a phone interview for a job that I really wanted. It's very upset.
Did you do it?
No, I'm starting class on Monday.
You should have did the interview anyways, just to see what happens.
No, because... If I tell him, like, hey, I'm starting class on Monday, I definitely can't take your job, they will keep my resume. Whereas if I do the phone interview and I'm like, nah, I don't want your job, they, you know, mark my resume
we'll throw
as
it
checked
away.
Already.
Yeah, that's true.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, they call me in 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months from now, they're still looking, which is entirely possible. I mean,
well, no,
now is
I mean,
not exactly
there's
the big time
turnover,
of year when hiring goes.
My, like, it was a QA job and there's huge turnover.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sure he
so
does
go
this
to
every
school.
2 or 3 months. What?
Yeah, you're going to go to school to get your degree or
then
whatever it is. You
job.
Get a certification and then you end up getting a QA job.
I mean, I don't even think it is a certification. I honestly think I can just tell people that I went. And I'm really thinking that, like... I have no idea.
You just... What. You paid money just to have something to put on your resume?
I mean, that is what I did. I have no,
You should have just said you worked for Vandalay Industries and then give them my phone number.
Yeah. Say Vandalay! Say Vandalay!
No, this is a residential number. Where do you... You're all wrong.
Yeah, that's the right number, but this is not... This is... Yeah.
And you want to be my latex salesman.
It's Games Turning Home.